Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. And we're broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. Gorgeous down here. It glows in the sun thanks to the Fukushima radiation, which is also handy for the economy because everybody now has a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. My very special guest who's joining us today for the full 2 hours is Jason Verbelli, and I believe that he has some nice little YouTube videos and things of that nature for you, which can be located at youtube.com/TheRealVerbs. That's Verbs with a Z or a Z if you happen to speak English properly. And there's also facebook.com/TheRealVerbs. Verbelli, and it's V-E-R-B-E-L-L-I, and he's not a person who swallows verbs, I think, hence Verbelli. All right, Jason, welcome to the program.
How are you doing, Vinny? Vinny, long time no talk, actually.
Yeah, man.
It's the first time we've talked. Whoa.
Is it?
I think so.
All right.
Yeah,
well, let's not waste our time then. Could you tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is you do, Jason?
Absolutely. My name is Jason Verbelli, and I just consider myself a free thinker, independent researcher, and experimenter who likes to meet with other inventors and study the suppressed sciences, stuff that you're not going to find in libraries, you might not hear promoted in universities, and the stuff that's been swept under the rug and not been given the credence and acknowledgement that it deserves. So I study things like Professor John Searle's technology, the work of Walter Russell. I try to experiment for myself dealing with structured water so that we can improve our health and see if we can make plants grow faster and all sorts of good benefits. And just really testing stuff out for myself and seeing what seemingly esoteric information that we can find and collect, put in context for ourselves, and apply it. Bruce Lee had a good quote. It says, knowledge, quote is skipping my head, but the point of the quote is that knowledge is not enough. We must do, and we have to apply the information. You can't just collect it and talk about it. You got to be about it. Try to share that with other people so that we can evolve, elevate ourselves, and all that good stuff. So what I've done is compile a bunch of videos on YouTube dealing with these alternative perspectives in science and philosophy. Again, mainly dealing with Walter Russell, John Searle. I have Ed Leedskalnin material up there, Walter C. Wright, stuff from the electric universe model, and things that might sound new to people, but these ideas are quite old, some of them being over 100 years old. So going back to our roots, that's the point, and giving acknowledgement to this unacknowledged information and see what we can do with it, man.
I've not heard of these people of which you speak.
Many people have not. Walter Russell was good friends with Nikola Tesla and Mark Twain, and they validated each other's work. There is a quote from Nikola Tesla to Walter Russell that says, Tesla advised Russell to lock away his ideas for the next 1,000 years until humanity was ready. And I say, I don't want to wait that long. So I'm taking it upon myself to see how we can interpret his information and compare it to those mainstream perspectives, which turn out not to be as accurate as they could be. They are great working in the world as we know it today, but there's a lot more to discover, a lot more to acknowledge, and if we want to start using these other forms of energy, we're going to have to start acknowledging these other guys' perspectives and experiment and fund them. Because you can do things on small scale, but every electrical engineer knows that if you can identify a phenomenon on one scale, you can scale it up and then apply that. So I like to provide people with names that they might not have heard of. And again, I encourage people to visit my YouTube channel so that they can see this information in context and a couple hundred videos of stuff that I've compiled, again, dealing with this stuff. Within the past 3 days, I've uploaded maybe over a dozen new videos. Last Sunday, I was with Fernando Morris, who is a member of the Searle Magnetics Incorporated, and that is based on John Searle's technology. And what we are doing here in Southern California is we have a research and development facility where we are studying and experimenting with John Searle's information step by step and trying to identify his original claims in a realistic environment, dealing with a limited budget, and seeing what we can provide to people information-wise and experiment-wise to show them that indeed this man discovered some very unique characteristics of magnetism many decades ago. And he makes magnets very, very differently.
Well, specifically, how does he make them differently and to what purpose?
The purpose is to generate energy unlike anything else that we use today. He discovered this as a 14-year-old in 1946 and was provided with the funding and resources at the electric company that he worked for at the time. So he was provided all this stuff and he was allowed to develop his ideas. Now, the magnets, they're just made in a completely different way with DC current and superimposed AC current, which sort of throws off the magnetic field of a magnet. And luckily I have actually a magnet here you can see. This is a standard ring magnet. What we have here is a magnetic viewing film. And what it is it's like this magnetic reactive fluid smashed in between this piece of plastic. So as you hold up a magnet, see if you can get the glare off of there, you can see the imprint of that magnet right there. You can see where that so-called line separates the north half from the south half. Now, what John Searle learned how to do and discovered is that flat line that's going around the that material separating north from south, he figured out a way to make it into a wave so that there's a variation on that block wall is what it's called. And his magnets are operating at a specific frequency. So before we get into all of that and the technical stuff, Last Sunday, Fernando Morris and myself conducted a presentation here in Southern California, and I've uploaded that in 6 parts now, so people can see more of the information of who John Searle is, what his work was, and what he achieved, what we are doing today to try to rebuild that, and what we hope for the future when we start to develop this technology even more day by day. So that's one part of the videos that I've uploaded. I also uploaded the PDF presentation itself, so people can go page by page and see the information, scrutinize it, go through, and look it up. So that's another thing I've done. We here at Searle Magnetics visited the Conscious Life Expo in Los Angeles last month. They were hosting a big old conference, and we had a booth there where we were demonstrating some of this electronic equipment that we are using to isolate John Searle's claims and show the behaviors of these magnets and how they relate to his machine. Now, what his machine is it's called the SEG, or the Searle Effect Generator. And what it does is it absorbs frequencies of all types, mainly thermal, and it converts those frequencies into an electric current. So instead of having a battery, and you plug in your device to that battery, and the battery depletes, what this does is it converts the surrounding frequencies into electric current. So all the radiation, all the heat, all of that chaos surrounding us is the battery, is the power source for this device. So as these specially made magnets rotate around each other, they're generating electricity and they're recycling that energy at the same time. So the result is that the area would be brought down in temperature ever so slightly. So that it abides by the laws of thermodynamics. The energy has to come from somewhere. But the laws of thermodynamics are dealing with closed systems mostly, dealing with an isolated battery connected to a light bulb. When that battery's dead, light bulb's out. But what if you constantly charged that battery? You can draw as much energy as you want from the light bulb as long as that battery's being recharged. So just like a windmill, as long as the wind is blowing, it will turn the windmill. Now, if you connect a generator to that windmill, you've got power. So similar concept with the SEG is that this device taps into the energy that is already around us, as Nikola Tesla described, as Paul Dirac described, and all these other really brilliant people, that we are in a sea of energy. And what that does is it utilizes that, just like a windmill does, to maintain rotation of the device, and you draw power from it up to a point. Because you can only draw as much power as is being converted. So the point is that there are different ways to magnetize materials which result in different behaviors. For decades, this man has been claiming that you can imprint these waves onto magnets, and you can create variations and patterns. And for decades, people said, nah, it ain't so. That's it, and that's all. Have a nice day. So a company comes along in 2008 that I'm aware of, and they're called CMR, Correlated Magnetics Research. And what they've done is they've found a way to imprint codes onto the magnets. So let's look at this magnet once more, just to have some context. You have a regular magnet. You hold up this thing and you see the imprint. Now notice that there's black. All that ring is black. Now here's the point. What do we see here? If we can get the glare off. We see geometries. See little patterns made out of the magnetic fields. And if you were to hold that up to this side, you'd see these same things. So what happens when these magnetic fields have these patterns on it? They act differently. Normally, magnets want to come together or they want to repel. Watch what happens with these magnets with the codes on them. So you have them, they want to attract, but at the last second, they repel. So they're doing both at the same time. So the magnets aren't just attracting or repelling. They're doing the same. They're doing both on the same side of the magnet. So again, the point with this is that indeed you can have the magnets be programmed to have different behaviors by magnetizing them in a different way. Scientists for decades said that that was impossible, yet we have this company doing it and showing it. And I have them here, and I've been experimenting with them for quite some time. So perhaps Professor John Searle's claims might have some more validity to them. If these guys are able to imprint codes, why wouldn't John Searle be able to?
That was quite interesting. What you showed there is that just the magnetic field of it actually creates this little spirograph type of pattern inside on the paper, and you know, it's really weird. It's like magic. And what occurs to me is that all of these great people of which you talk about, why haven't their technologies really come out to everybody? Has there been some kind of suppression syndrome, or were they just afraid that humanity was too much of a bunch of mouth-breathing, knuckle-dragging, incompetent, unevolved Twizzlers in order to frickin' get what they're talking about, or that it might be dangerous or something like that, or used for weaponry? What?
I think it's all of the above, but the majority of it is that people don't take it upon themselves to experiment and do it themselves. I didn't find a lot of this information until I got off of my butt and seeked it out for myself. If you're waiting for somebody else to discover it and develop it, it's not going to happen, folks. You got to do it. It's not going to happen unless I do it. So that's why I'm dedicating. I just relocated from the San Francisco Bay Area down here to San Diego so that I can work on this stuff full time and dedicate my energy and mind to this stuff.
Is San Diego fluoridated yet? Last I heard, they were trying to pass a fluoridation measure.
Far as I know, yeah, the water down here is pretty nasty. But I distill all of my water and structurize it, which we can talk about in the next segment.
Indeed you do. All right, Jason Verbelli is my very special guest. YouTube.com/TheRealVerbs with a Z. Back in a minute, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you go anywhere.
Accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing.
Right, welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that recognizes that the times they are a-changing, which is why it's so easy now for everybody to make a frickin' difference. We've got access to the technology, the broadcasting, the recording, the slight little digital wacky-doos that we've got nowadays in order to broadcast truth and prosperity, in other words, to people. Because let's face facts here, ladies and gentlemen, if whatever is going on right now, just in general, doesn't change, we're all fracked, because it looks pretty, pretty nasty indeed. Look, you're being enslaved in every conceivable way possible. You're surrounded by every toxin imaginable, and the periodic table is practically in your umbilical cord the second you're birthed. We're messed up, baby. Messed up bad. There's got to be some good solutions out there in every single sector. So if you have any idea how to solve any problem in any part of society, and you think to yourself, oh, I bet somebody else has figured that out, I can guarantee you, they haven't figured it out yet. So it's your job right now, being the person endowed with that realization, to do something about it, to create something that actually matters, that will change the world for the better. My very special guest is Jason Verbelli. Welcome back. You were talking about fortifying or distilling water?
Correct. As a recap for the first segment, people can visit my YouTube channel to see the six-part presentation that Fernando Morris and myself just did last Sunday talking about John Searle's technology. With that, I uploaded the PDF slides so that you can go through page by page. John Searle invented a new type of magnets and new type of magnetization process that can be used for the benefit to generate energy and our health. Another thing to do with health is structured water, is what we left off on. And yes, the water down here is pretty nastified. It's bad, Vinny. It's bad.
Yeah. Can you light it with a match?
Almost. It's almost fuel, right? It might as well be. But what I do is I distill my water. What I think we should do first is reverse osmosis the water so it takes out the fluoride and all of the really bad stuff. Because when you boil water, it concentrates the fluoride. It doesn't get rid of it. It concentrates it. So in distilling machines, some of that fluoride might still be able to carry over into the clean sample. So it might be best for us to reverse osmosis our water and then distill it and then structurize it. What does structurizing water mean? Well, molecules can come together. Everybody knows water is H2O, but the orientation of that H2O can be messed up, can be like this, can be like this. The same chemical composition can be structured and oriented differently. So those molecules can be all around nasty, or those molecules can make a beautiful snowflake shape. The more geometries that they have, the more charge that they seem to carry, and the more benefit that they seem to give when you drink it or water plants with it or whatever you do with the water. So
apparently some dude once upon a time used magnets in a salmon farm or something like that, and he made these salmon that were like prehistoric, you know, like huge, chunky, kind of muscly, healthy salmon. Really weird stuff, man. You can do so much with magnetism.
I had no clue about the salmon farming in that regard, but I do know about the plants. Now, there's a guy named Dan Winter, and he has a device called the Imploder Nozzle. He's selling it for quite a hefty fee, but on my YouTube channel, I have taken the liberty to show people how to make their own version of it for a lot cheaper. Or, because Dan has done the work for us, we can choose to purchase his model. If you don't have the money, you can make your own in this other way. What it is you have ring magnets forced together that want to repel. Force them together anyway. Take a stainless steel washer, put it on the magnet. It'll stick. Now, normally that other magnet will want to repel from that magnet, but it will stick to that stainless steel washer as a common bond. It'll stick anyway. So when you pass water through those ring magnets, when they're stuck, forced together like that, for some reason, it affects the quality of the water, and when you water plants with it, the plants grow many times faster. Who knew? Apparently,
allegedly, you can do that with the fuel intake of your engines as well. If you put those magnets around one of the fuel intakes, it'll magnetize or charge the petrol or whatever, and it now starts to make it burn a hell of a lot better.
People are commercially selling these units now, and even at Home Depot, I saw some sort of water structurizing device where they had either the water spinning in a vortex or going through magnets, trying to mimic this type of science and methods. Victor Schauberger was very well known for studying nature, and nature was his teacher, studying water and structurization. There is a man... What's his name? I think his name is Gerald Polak. I think his name is Gerald Polak. He's with the Electric Universe people. And if you go on to Thunderbolts Project on YouTube, YouTube user Thunderbolts Project. And on there you can see this presentation by this guy, Gerald Polak. Hope I have his name right. And he's talking about structured water and the peer-reviewed studies that they have now concluded with those, showing that indeed there are hexagonal formations of these water molecules which negatively charge the water, and they can create benefit millions of times than what has previously been speculated. Millions of times. That's pretty significant, I think.
So we're talking about water that can, like, turn you into Superman or something like that. You know, leap tall buildings in a single bound, produce acidic urine so that when you piss on the president, he melts like the Wicked Witch of the West.
No, actually, it might produce alkaline urine because the disorder is more acidic. The more ordered something is, the more alkaline it seems to get. So these this type of
probably
water
have probably have anti-cancer properties too, then, and antimicrobial.
Correct. From what I have studied and from the stuff that I have read, it does have a major difference. Now there are studies to show that negative charges. Negative, what they call ions, are have a lot of benefit. They kill bacteria and viruses. So if you can promote a negative charge in the water, and you take that in your body or you water plants with it, then no wonder they're going to be benefiting because of that negative charge, which has been proven to contribute to the benefit of a living system or a living organism. So well, that's what I do in my water.
Apparently, the basis of, say, vitamin C is just preventing electron theft from your cells, essentially. And if you prevent the cells from losing their electric charge and what have you, I'm not sure how this works exactly, you can essentially prevent the body's decay. You can destroy viruses and things of that nature. And essentially, as far as Dr. Thomas Levy has said, pretty much all illness is the result of electron theft.
That's what, again, I have to address that phrase, that term, electron. I don't subscribe to the electron theory. I'm more in line with Walter Russell and Ed Leedskalnin when they said there's no such thing as an electron as they teach it. It's more like an electric whirlpool, not some solid ball particle. So just to get that in the idea of the listener's head. So when we were talking about these mainstream terms like electrons, we're not talking about it in the classic models that they teach in schools because it just doesn't jive with reality. But in order to communicate some of these ideas, you have to use these fallacious terms to talk about it, which I really don't like. I think it's watering down the information to people. But the point
is, what are the other terms for them? If it's not electron, is everything just all one really? And there are certain aspects with everything.
Correct. But when we're dealing with reality, we can see apparent differences between the air and something solid. But really, when it comes down to it, on the what do you want to call a quantum level, nothing really behaves as we see and experience on this scale. Nothing. We don't actually touch anything. All things are repelled, even at the very small 10 to the negative 8 scale or whatever it is. So nothing actually touches. We just feel the magnetic resistance between forces, which we interpret as temperature or feeling or whatever it is. But this electron phenomenon, whatever it is, whatever we choose to call it, there are little things of energy or whatever that are lost from our body, which is why we age, which is why we degrade and decompose. If you can replenish those electrons at a better rate than at which you lose them, you're not going to age at the same rate. You're going to be healthy. You're going to feel happy. And
Can I ask, like, humans generate their own magnetic field, right?
Yeah.
So would illness be caused by a decrease in your magnetic field? Like if something causes you to lose your charge, as it were?
That would be a good way to describe it. But not only a losing a charge, but altering the field. You can still have the same amount of charge, but if it's oriented a little bit differently, you might be thrown, your body might be thrown off to feel the difference in those charges, which might be a dis-ease. When you're at ease, you're healthy and you're happy. When you're dis-eased, something electrically is going on first, which then goes down the chain of command or up the chain of command and affects the physical body. So they say, you know, everything is affected in your aura first or your electric field or whatever we want to call it. Everything has an electric aspect to it first. And when you start messing with that, then you can prevent disease rather than just treat it like we do today. Because we're treating symptoms, not the cause. which is a whole thing about Walter Russell's work, is getting to know the cause of things rather than the effects. This is an electric universe of effects and a magnetic universe of mind.
Well, that's what's kind of important about drinking a lot of water, because you've got an electric body. How are you supposed to get the electricity from your brain to your fingertips or whatever if it's not got some kind of a substance like water to travel through?
Correct. And there are studies to show that you can take your blood, you can put it under a microscope, and you can see all of your blood cells are clumped together in symplasts and rouleaus. It's pretty much as like little clumps of red blood cells stuck together. Like you take a magnet, you break it apart, you see all the chunks. Nasty. So you drink some structured water, test that same person's blood maybe 10, 15 minutes later. You'll see all of those little red blood cells individualized like magnets that want to repel, not stacked together, not clumped. The surface area is able to absorb more oxygen, more nutrients. There's less heat and pressure on each of them. So symplasts and rouleaus, when all your blood cells are clumped up, that leads to heart disease, lung disease, and all this other stuff. When your cells are able to have buoyancy and individuality, they carry more electric charge, and it goes to the benefit of the system. You can see that immediately just by testing your blood under a microscope, drinking good water, drinking tap water. But structurizing water does not mean filtering water. To structurize water, you send it through those magnetic fields, or much easier way, pour your water over spheres. So you have a tube. You have two spheres stacked on top of two spheres, stacked on top of two, stacked on top of two. So one, two, one, two, one, two. Okay, easy. Pour water through the tube. The water will be guided over a more natural wave path, just like in nature, down a waterfall or through rounded rocks in a creek. So when you give water a natural path like that, it seems to improve the quality of the water, which this man, Clayton Nolte, discovered at naturalactionwater.com. And you can compare that study to fractalfield.com/imploder magnetic research. fractalfield.com/imploder magnetic research. And then you can compare those two studies. One of them uses magnets forced together that want to repel. The other one just uses spheres stacked on top of each other. And they seem to achieve the same benefit and quality of the water. So what I've done at my house is combine those two ideas and try to just use that to use for my plants, for my dogs, for my cooking, and for me personally. And I do notice a difference. And my friends do too when they have come over and tried samples.
What about if you would like to install that on a glass? You know, like, I don't know if you've ever been to a really, like, a nice beer bar or whatever, but they had that gold rim around the top of the glass kind of thing when you drink it. What would happen if you had glasses that had a ring of magnet, as you described, around the rim of the glass? Would that magnetize everything that you drink out of that glass kind of thing?
First of all, glass would be very heavy. Secondly, I think you have to have the water spinning as it is going through those opposing magnetic fields. So it wouldn't be too beneficial to just have magnets at the rim of your glass and you're drinking. It seems like you have to cycle the water through these fields. And the more that you cycle, the more benefit that you get. And then you can put it into your glass and drink it. No, I don't think just having or even a straw with tiny magnets on it like that, and you drink that,
like,
might work.
Like a magnetized silly straw. That'd work.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, send it back. That's you. Better pass.
All right, there we go. The magnetized silly straw by Vinny Eastwood, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnyEastwoodShow.com.
Vuol vento, sola cedo. what happened there, but my internet on the on my phone. Can you see me?
Yeah, well, we've got Jason back. He just dropped off for a second there, and it appears as though his video is out now.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine. We can't see you, though.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. So there's no problems there.
All right, so, we can still continue.
Although there do seem to be a bit of technical issues, we can hear a little bit of reverberation on my side as well. Your video's not working either. I'm just popping in your landline number here to the studio just in case we need to use that. Okay, well, anyway, welcome back to the show, everybody. My very special guest, Jason Verbelli, The Real Verbs, is his YouTube channel there. Okay, welcome back. Now, what were we talking about before the break? It was magnetized silly straws and what happened. Hey, and I don't know if you've seen the Zeitgeist movie or whatever with the tube trains that they've got, you know, that run on magnets and stuff. I think that would be really cool.
Oh, well, that's a part of the deal with John Searle's technology, is that it operates similar to the maglev train, and how the maglev train travels above the track and it doesn't touch the track. But the maglev train is pretty much a straight line track. Now apply that same thing, but in a ring. So as these magnets are going around this machine, that nothing touches, just like the maglev train doesn't touch. So
nothing will wear out. Yeah, we've really lost you there, Jason. Your connection's kind of making you sound a bit like Megatron. So. American Freedom Radio on the boards there. Would you be able to give Jason a quick ring, and we'll come back to Jason once he's been brought onto the caller line there. Let's hope we can sort this out as soon as possible. Now, I wanted to also make the point here that all of the industries that we currently use to provide us with all our products, like let's say, for example, the automotive industry is the thing that really drives the movement of goods and services, you know, whether that be by trucking or just private vehicle conveyance, you know, going down to the convenience store, picking up a double gulp and then coming back and then poisoning yourself with it. It would not be possible without just the simple carbon-based, you know, fuel technologies and things like that. But the problem is they've been obsolete for so fracking long that it's unfreaking believable. And the difficulty being here is that I know that major automotive companies have indeed used a lot of magnet technology in vehicles that they've made, experimenting and things like that, and have allegedly gotten a lot of success out of these devices, fuel savings and so forth. I know that there are shows all over the place that create an environment where people can come in with their new devices in an attempt to obtain sponsorship or investors and things of that nature, so they can take their simple devices that work allegedly and take them out to market. And this is really the way I think people are going to grow the economy, not this whole green economy idea, which is using current outdated windmill and solar panel stuff, which runs out and breaks down and destroys itself anyway because of all the moving parts in it and what have you, which of course would probably be manufactured by something like the automotive industry, which is corrupt as it is. You know, that's freaking stupid to me. Everybody needs to understand that the newest and the greatest and the best technologies that we have available today were invented a long freaking time ago, just haven't been put into proper usage by anybody because we're too freaking lazy or it's been totally suppressed.
Correct. And again, it's the lack of funding that a bunch of people have been able to figure out certain phenomenon on a small scale. But in order to apply that or make it a commercial reality for others, you'd have to fund them, give them the resources that they need to develop their projects. But many of these people have been funded by some investors, and then those investors see that indeed it works. And if they can exploit it, They might try until it can't get to the market, or something happens where they get seized, their company gets shut down, you get raided by the FBI. Whatever it might be, there are things that help to stumble this type of technology, plural technologies. But the point is that there are people who have developed really wonderful things, and it's just not getting out to the market because of cost. It's just not cost effective for the companies today. And that's what is the point of business, is to make money. So rather than make something that is beneficial, they have planned obsolescence and all that stuff. You know, talking about this kind of stuff for years. But I focus on the application of that information. I'd studied the conspiracy aspect of it, which indeed there is, and I've studied the suppression of information, but now I'm starting to shift into experimenting and applying. It's great to talk and study. Cool. It all exists. Now what are we going to do with it? And how are you going to get it to other people? That's where I'm at right now. So, yes, there are very wonderful things that have been developed. Yes, they work, and yes, they're real. But how are we going to get them to people unless we give these inventors and what they need? So that's why I've chosen to focus on John Searle's technology, because I believe him. I see the implications of it. And rather than just going willy-nilly and, you know, telling people about 20 different projects, I've decided to focus on one and try to get it out. That's what we need to do, is pick something that you believe in, stick with it, be passionate about it, and see it to fruition yourself. And that's the only way, ultimately, I think that these things will come out, is if we do it ourselves. That's it.
Yeah. Well, passionate people work a lot harder than people who don't give a frack. You know, they stay after hours. They say to the wife and kids, sorry, I'm working, as opposed to just going, you know, I don't want to work. I want to be home with my wife and kids.
Exactly.
All right.
But people, a lot of people don't have the time, even though they want to, because we have, you know, people have families. They have a job. They have things that take up their time. So because I have the time, I'm just dedicating myself so that, because other people can't, because I'm so interested in it. So there's so many people that would love to study it. Hey, maybe I can collect information for them and provide it. And then they can take it to the next level. Having the info in a cohesive flow rather than trying to look through books and all that stuff. That's what I do. Try to get all the info outlined. Here it is. Investigate it. Experiment with it. Try to have the least amount of time possible for people so that they can try it out. I mean, how easy is it to spin the glass of water with a spoon before you drink it? That helps, rather than drinking a stagnant glass of water. You want to take it to a next level, pour your water over spheres. You want to take it to a next level, get some magnets, force them together, and pour water through it. It's relatively easy stuff, but it does take a little time to put together, and you got to try. Don't take my word for it. Don't take anybody else's word for it. Cool, this brilliant people hundreds of years ago. Try it out. Don't believe them until you see it for yourself. I proved it to myself up to a point, which is why I'm so passionate about it. Because nobody can tell me otherwise, because I've seen it. Period.
Well, a lot of people will just call you crazy or whatever. Just because you're doing something that they don't believe in, like, I don't believe that magnets work. Like, and I think nobody's actually capable of explaining yet why magnets even attract metal yet. Like, nobody knows. They just do.
They can tell you what a magnet does, but not what a magnet is. They can tell you what gravity does, but not what it is. Tell you what electricity does, not what it is. What is it? I don't know. I know that I have enough information to make an educated guess, which is a different guess than what the mainstream community promotes.
Well, sure. Hence it's called an educated guess.
Yeah, you have to have an informed opinion in order to make an educated guess. But if you're just regurgitating the models of other people like Einstein and Stephen Hawking and Michio Kaku, then you're probably going to be stuck in the same tautology and circular thinking that they promoted.
I always thought Michio Kaku was a type of marijuana.
Probably is, actually. Here in California, might be. Right? But this guy, I met Michio Kaku. That guy has the biggest dome. He has the biggest head of anybody I've ever seen in my life. And it's like, it's all skull from what I can tell. I'd rather study Walter Russell and Ed Leeds skulling over Einstein and Kaku.
Yeah.
It's my opinion. Everybody has something to offer, but...
Everybody has something to offer. And some people just, I think, in fact, what was I talking to? I think I was talking to Mehran Tavakoli from the Keshe Foundation. And it turns out that a lot of these guys that are in the so-called authoritative positions in the scientific community, you know, I'm the authority on black holes, I'm the authority on energy or whatever.
Say that word to me, brother.
What they do is they steal the ideas of people that are smarter than them, pass it off as their own, and people believe that they came up with it, and they deny that somebody else came up with it because they're the authority figure.
It's called ad hoc assumptions.
Indeed. We'll be right back.